If you had the worst week you've ever had, if you've struggled spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, family, every other way, church is where you need to be. You say, Brother Wayne, but you don't understand. I understand way too well. So I said all that to say this. If you go back in your Bible, the priest's garments were a big deal. They didn't show up with filthy garments. And Joshua did. Okay? Not to be disrespectful, that was all he had. Life had chewed him up and spit him out that week. And the devil, right? Why do you think the devil was there? The devil was like, I've been telling you all week you ain't worthy. Stay at the house. And Joshua said, this is a mess, but I'm going anyway. So let's see what the devil thought about it and what God thought about it, okay? So now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. He answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And all God's people said. All right, we're talking about snatching them from the fire. And obviously there is a command there in the book of Jude to us to love and to reach out to those that are so far gone, they're already feeling the flames, right? That doesn't go over any of our heads. Eternity without Christ involves flames. Their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We don't get in somebody's face and say it gladly. That you can preach on hell and people think you want them to go there. You can preach on hell and people know you're trying to keep them from it. But we're not going to run from the message that there is eternal damnation in this Bible. It's mentioned from Genesis to Revelation. So while Jude talks about our responsibility, the sweet Holy Spirit led me to Zechariah to remind us that God was the original one who snatched somebody from the fire. So let's get a few lessons from this message. So look at verse 1 and verse 3. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Satan standing at the right hand of Joshua. Here's what's going on in this small worship gathering, right? Here's what's going on. Stand up, buddy. You want to be Satan or Joshua?
I'll be Joshua.
Joshua. Okay, stand right here. So I'm Satan. You're standing here, and you got you're Joshua?
Yeah.
So you got filthy garments, they're hidden, okay? And you're doing your duty. You're the high priest. You're wanting to give an offering to the Lord. And why is Satan here, Daniel? What's the text say? Satan standing next to him to resist, rebuke, right? And here's what the devil's doing. Y'all, I'm not making any of this up. If you testify, I'm going to stand up and tell him why your garments are filthy. I know you love him. That if you try to enjoy church today, I'm just going to remind you of every evil thing you've done in the last 15 years. Is that what he does? He's doing it 3,000 years ago. He does it today. Why don't he change his tactics? If it ain't, here's his motto. It hangs on his office wall in hell. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. He's like, I've been smothering Christians for 6,000 years. I ain't going to fix that one. And get ready to offer something to the Lord. No, look at your hands. Look at your hands. I'm not advocating hypocrisy. I'm talking about we're in the world but not of the world. And sometimes the world gets on you. Right? Sit down. Thank you. Thank you. You did a good Joshua. I did a pretty good devil. Came real easy. I'm kind of shocked right there. Okay, look at verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Number one, consistency. Daniel, I'm glad Joshua came to church that morning. Sometimes, Brother Loman, sweet people, good people will call me and say, preacher, I'm just dealing with so much right now. I've just got this going on. I'm afraid I'll hinder the service. Well, I have a funny answer, and that is, come on, one more won't hurt. But the other one is, God's bigger than your messes. If you had the worst week you've ever had, if you've struggled spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, family, every other way, church is where you need to be. You say, Brother Raines, but you don't understand. I understand way too well. I ain't told you this in a while. More than once, Ethan, I've sat in that parking lot. It's been a while, but it'll happen again. I've sat, Ben, in that parking lot and cried so hard that my shoulders shook. You say, preacher, why do you get here so early? So I can sit out there and pray and ask God to give me the grace and the courage and the strength to come in here and minister to God's people. Feed a sheep. You say, oh, no, you got it going on. I ain't got nothing going on. That's horrible English. But I have sat out there and said, Lord, I can't stand before your people. I'm broken. And he said, it's what I've called you to do, and you couldn't do it before I did call you. Amen. I didn't call you because you could. Amen. And he'll give me the grace, Doug, to come in here and do what he's called me to do. And he's done it for you, and that's why we're here this morning. So number one is the consistency of this dear man. He's there. He knows. Read Leviticus. The clothing of the priest was a big deal. And he was a mess, Brother Rudy. And Gary, he got up and said, this is not what they taught me in high priest school. But I'm going anyway. I am not advocating living in the world and then coming in here and putting on a show. That's not what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a man who has a heart for God, and the world has got on him, has messed with him. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But he said, I'm going anyway. Number one, his consistency. I am skipping number two, and I'm coming back to it, I believe. It may be a standalone message. Later, we'll see. Go to the end of verse number 2. The Lord rebuke thee, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? I want you to get a hold of the confrontation that is taking place here. And I want you to look at who the battle is between. The Lord and Satan. You say, Brother Raines, what does that mean to me here this morning? It's not all about me, and it's not all about you. Your Bible says it this way: the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not fleshly weapons. It's not, I'm going to file a lawsuit again. I don't like what their family. No, no, no. He said, this is a spiritual warfare that's going on in this place. And it's not about me, and it's not about you. And the Lord is, here's what David, I believe it was David, said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The lesson is, let the Lord do the rebuking of Satan in your life. I have charismatic Church of God. It's a wide variety, about as wide a variety as independent Baptist. I have friends that are in that or lean that way. Let me tell you something, and I want to be a help to them and an encouragement to them. I believe they strayed from the Word of God. Okay? Let me tell you something. You don't get up in Satan's face and rebuke him. Let the Lord do the rebuking. So we see that confrontation that is going on there. Look at verse number 4. They answered and said unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments. You say, Brother Raines, you spent 10 minutes telling us whatever we've dealt with this week, whatever we're struggling with, come on to the house of God. Absolutely, because here in the house of God, in the presence of God, with the Word of God, is where we get cleaned up. We leave better than we came. And Joshua got to the house of God, got into the presence of God, and God said, take those dirty garments away and give him some clean ones. God is going to, we've said it all morning long, God touches every area of our life. And that is one great witness and evidence of salvation, is that God is dealing with parts of your life that all your life you never knew God was concerned about. Let's face it, y'all, this area of the country with its rich heritage has so much heritage that Christianity is cultural. And it's Sunday go to meeting. And a God that gets involved in your affairs Monday through Saturday, like, whoa, that's a little up close and personal for me. No, Jesus wants to get all up in your business. I preach a series on Peter, and I absolutely love it. I'm dying for somewhere to preach it. I've preached it to y'all, and if I don't get an opportunity to preach it out, I'm going to preach it to y'all again and see if the second time sticks. Say amen right there. Peter met Jesus and was impressed with him. The second meeting, Jesus crawled up in his boat and said, launch out into the deep. Some of us like a Jesus who's either on the shore teaching me in the boat, or he gets in the boat and leaves us on the shore and he teaches a lesson and feed the poor and help the weak. And we're going, oh, that's so inspiring. When he crawls up in our boat and tells us where to take it, we're like, oh, you're getting a little close. That's the God of the Bible. That's the Jesus of the Bible. His clothing was changed. Okay, now let's go back. I'm going to give you that second one that I was debating on. Lord said it was time. Look at 1B. You ready? 1B, Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Listen to me. This is the point. You're a combatant. C-O-M-B-A-T-A-N-T, his combatant. Y'all, the devil is your enemy. He is real. I say this so often, Dale. The reason I don't say more about spiritual warfare than I do is anybody I know who reads and studies it, almost 99 times out of 100, goes off the deep end, and that's all they think about, and that's all they talk about. They don't focus on Jesus. They focus on spiritual warfare. You follow me? So, Brother David, that keeps me from saying more about it than I do, but I'm just telling you right up front, I've been convicted studying this passage because your enemy is real. Before I go any further with that, don't get weird on me. Oh, I wanted that parking space, but somebody else got it. I'll bet the devil did that to discourage me. No, quit it, quit it, quit it, quit it, stop it. Oh, I needed the grits on sale at Save More, and they ran out before. I'll bet the devil sent somebody there to get the last bag before. Stop it. You dumb. Stop. He ain't worried about your grits. Now, if you need grits on sale because you've been given to the Lord and because your husband's job situation, pray and ask God to supply all you need. But the devil's not sending somebody there to get your grits. Now, I said all that to say this. The devil is very, very real. And he is standing next to Joshua to resist him, to oppose him, to get all up in his business. He said, Brother Rains, that's what you just said about God. I know. Do you want to know what got the devil? Now, he's back in heaven right here. In a spiritual sense, and we know he was in the book of Job. But do you want to know what got him kicked out of heaven? We often say this. One of the men and I discussed this last Sunday. We often say he wanted to dethrone God. You'll not find that in your Bible. Isaiah 14. Make a note of it. I won't go there. Isaiah 14. He just said, let me in on what you're doing, God. Let me be a part of the... Give me a seat at the table. He just... And you say, hey, Brother Rains, prove it. Genesis chapter 3, what did he say to Eve? When you take this fruit, you'll be as gods. All the devil wants, he's not trying to dethrone God. He just wants us all holding hands and singing Kumbaya. And my opinion matters as much as God's does. No, no, no. There's one God. There's one God. And he's in control. I submit to him. That is the problem that the devil has. So let me just take a few minutes and remind you have a combatant. His name is Satan. His name is Lucifer. His name, he has many, okay? I love it in Revelation when they call him by four names. I'm like, buddy, you ain't getting out of here. We think we were in trouble when mama said our first and last name, okay? Or if she threw your middle name in, you better run for cover. And if your name's Doug and mama said Douglas, my brother feels me right there. Douglas Keith, son, business was about to pick up, and not in a good way. And in Revelation chapter, I don't remember the chapter, he calls him by four of his names. I'm like, buddy, you have been pegged. He is alive and well, and he wants you. He wants your marriage. He wants your daughter. He wants this church. He wants our grandkids. He wants our unity. He wants it all, and he'll stop at nothing. Look at this about the devil, Emily, his boldness. Where is he in Zechariah chapter 3? In the very presence of God. Wanting to say something. Looking for an opportunity to interject. Where was he in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2? Standing before the Lord. That's amazing. A lot of ways I could go with that, and I'm not going to labor the point. My question is, why? If he rebelled and was fallen from heaven, Isaiah chapter 14, why is he allowed back in? I think that tells us how much authority he did have in heaven. We're told in Ezekiel that he was covered in all the stones and beautiful colors. And then when he opened his mouth, more than one voice or sound came out. One verse seems to indicate that it sounded like beautiful organs, an orchestra, if you will. He had much authority in heaven, but he didn't have a seat at the table with the Trinity, and that's what ate at him. So for God in his sovereignty allows him right now to come and go. So number one, I want you to understand how bold the devil is. We think, he's not running around with a red suit and a pitchfork. Listen to me carefully. Several of you have talked to me privately about job situations. So if you've been one of them, don't think I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all of us. He's not going to come to you in a red suit and a pitchfork. He may come as an incredible job offer. If the incredible job offer is from God, take it and use it for his glory. But do what, as far as I know, all of you who have talked to me about job situations, do what you are doing. Pray and say, God, is this from you? Or is this something that 6 weeks from now, 6 months from now, 6 years from now, he's patient, would destroy me and my family? Right? So bold, I want to go back to bold. Daniel, he knows he's been demoted. He knows he's been kicked out. But his mamma, as long as God will let him, he is footloose and fancy free and bold enough to stride into the presence of God anytime he pleases. You're not just dealing with any old enemy. You're dealing with someone who is bold enough to stand before God and practically put his finger in his face. You follow me? Here, we ain't got to it yet. We haven't got to it yet. In the book of Jude, the Bible says when Michael the archangel was dealing with Satan, he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." The same word that God himself used in Zechariah chapter 3 is what Michael the archangel used when dealing with Satan. He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Scripture, and that passage in particular, would seem to indicate that if there was a hierarchy, it was very possible that Michael was right under Lucifer. Lucifer got demoted, got expelled, got defeated, right? one would think that Michael would be bold enough to say, I have the position you used to have, right? That's how they do it at the plant where you work. Or the office where you work. Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee. Listen to me, church. You've got a bold enemy. Jesus to Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to devour and sift you as wheat. We think, Jared, he's here to irritate us and annoy us. He could care less about irritating and annoying you. He wants to destroy you. Yes, sir, you're right. Parents, he wants your kids. I want to show you how real this is to me. Jake comes every Sunday between 8:30 and 8:40, listens to music on his, what are these, earbuds, earbuds? Which one? Buds. And practices the bass. He wasn't here this morning. He spent the night with friends and came in at church time. This is how real this fact that the enemy wants our families, our homes, our children. This is how real this was and is to me, Brother Ron. I'm not making this up. I sat in the office. I said, Lord, I hope Jake's all right. I asked Logan. He was no help. None. I said, Logan, I hadn't seen your brother. He said, don't ask me. I don't think he cared. I think it was like, I hope he's gone. I get his room. I think that's really as far as that went. But Miss Frankie, I sat in that office. And maybe I was a little hypersensitive because of studying about Satan. Maybe I was a little hypersensitive about being around 165, 80 young adults with a heart for God all day Thursday, all day Friday. I don't know. Maybe I was just being a pastor. But I sat in that office and I said, Lord, Jake hadn't missed being here on a Sunday. The latest he's got here is 8:45 for months and months. And Seth, I bowed my head and said, Lord, please don't let Derek and Frankie come in this morning and say, preacher, can we talk to you after church? Right? It happens. The devil wants him. John, do a Jacob. Put your hand on both of their heads. The devil wants them. The devil wants y'all. The devil wants that home. Hold your seat. The devil wants that home. Oh, brother. We're home free. No, you're not. You know when we're home free? When we're home. He wants y'all. He wants y'all. Good mama, good daddy. Good mama, good daddy. You see, I know your paternal grandparents. I don't know your maternal. I know your maternal grandmother. I know your family to the Civil War. You say, Brother Raines, they're going to make it. Not without God. There is an enemy who has a plan right now. He has the Andrew and Courtney plan. He has the David and Yvonne plan. Right? That's how real this is to me. Our combat. If he is bold enough to march into the presence of God and go, the minute he says something, I ask for equal time. You're bold. You're bold when you go to that length. And God woke me up. It was on my mind all for however long. And then through the night, woke up this morning. And I said, Lord, help me in the power of the Holy Ghost to remind them how bold our enemy is. Church, you got an enemy. Mackenzie, do you believe God? Answers, nobody here. I looked front to back, side to side. Nobody here but us. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? You really believe that? You know who else does? Satan. Got a file drawer, Mackenzie. And he's working just as diligently as your heavenly Father to see it executed. You say, Brother Raines, that depresses me. Oh, no. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In the authority of the shed blood of Jesus on the cross and the power of the resurrection, I have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a God we serve.